Blog Talk Radio. up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Remo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys?
Hey, nothing much, Macaulay. You know, just a typical Sunday evening on Black Talk Radio. You know the deal, folks. We talk sports, entertainment, and everything else. I was planning on leading off the show with, you know, of course, obvious NBA and how the Knicks are doing. And also, you know, we're also going to talk about the Jets and their bounce back win against the Rams today. We're going to preview Giants and the Packers coming up. And of course, Jets also are going to face the Patriots on Thanksgiving. So we'll also talk about that also. And of course, end the show with a little sports entertainment. But you know, let's before we get to the big news, you know, this week with the Knicks streaking to 6-0, let's talk quickly about you know, R.A. Dickey with the Mets. He made a record. He's the first knuckleball pitcher in the history to win a Cy Young Award. So I just want to get that out there, you know, congratulate him on winning 20 games, you know, having a unbelievable, miraculous year this year.
Yeah, congrats to him. I mean, he definitely deserves it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the guy should have started the All-Star game, you know, in July, but Tony La Russa thought otherwise. And
Tony La Russa's a bitch.
And you know, had he started him, they Dickey would have won that game too, because as you remember, you know, the Giants, Sandoval and Cabrera, who's now with the Blue Jays, you know, they contributed to the National League winning 8-0. So
right,
and of course Kane got the win because he started in place of Dickey.
Yep.
But you know, it was a it's good that he's finally, he finally got the recognition that his miraculous year that he had, you know, winning 20 games. He won, he catapulted the Mets to, you know, of course they didn't win to the playoffs, but he ignited the fans, you know. He gave the fans something to look forward to every fifth day, even though, you know, the Mets was out of it.
Yep.
And, you know, hopefully Mets will re-sign them and, you know, hopefully, most importantly, re-sign Wright. Try to, you know, get them back to respectability, and then eventually in a couple of years, hopefully a world championship in Flushing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he had a great year. I mean, he was the best Met this past season, without no. Even though Johan Santana had that perfect game, you know,
no hitter.
Perfect no hitter. He had a no hitter, but still, even though R.A. Dickey didn't have a no hitter, and he didn't pitch a great game like Johan Santana did in that one game. But I mean, R.A. Dickey was consistent. I mean, he was even undefeated for a moment there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. You know, throughout most of the year, he was undefeated since his loss, you know, against the Braves earlier on.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about it is that he injured his abdominal muscle in April.
Yeah.
And this guy was, you know, practically unhittable. I mean, at one point, he had a back-to-back one-hitter.
Yeah, yep.
So, I mean, you know, and he, as a matter of fact, one of those one-hitters, he defeated the AL Cy Young winner, David Price, who also is a Tennessee native who lives right next door to him, apparently, or around his neighborhood.
Yep.
And, you know, congrats to David Price, too. But,
yeah,
man.
I mean, R.A. Dickey, you got to give it up to him. He had a great year, and like I was about to say that even though he didn't have a no-hitter like Johan Santana
mm-hmm.
did, he threw a lot of one, two, three hitters.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It was like every game he pitched, like opponents had a hard time hitting that tough knuckleball because he threw that knuckleball so hard, harder than anyone has ever thrown it.
Well, yeah, and like I was telling you in June when Johan, you know, threw the no-hitter, I was saying, you know, when Mets got him in 08, I was thinking Santana would be the guy to do it. But then, you know, this year, going into the year, I thought if someone was going to do it, it would be Dickey, because I assumed there would be someone, you know, you'd least expect it to do it. But I got to give you credit. You thought you stuck to your guns. You thought Johan would be the guy to do it if
yeah, of course,
no hitter would come true. So.
I mean, Johan has been injured the past few years, and, you know, he hasn't been really healthy enough to show how great of a pitcher he is. But, I mean, if anyone could throw a no-hitter, it had to be Johan. No one else. You know.
And Johan is one of the few pitchers, I think maybe one or two pitchers, that missed a whole year and threw a no-hitter the following year. Doc Gooden, of course, did that when he was with the Yankees in 96.
Yeah.
After he got suspended when he was with the Mets for you know cocaine use and all
right.
off the field stuff he had in his career at that point.
Yeah.
And speaking of Doc Gooden, you know, he congratulated him. He thought you know, R.A. Dickey winning the award at 37 years old was more miraculous than him winning it at the young age of 20 years old.
Wow.
So, I mean, you gotta give him props, you know, for him, you know, tipping his cap to R.A. Dickey.
Yep.
And of course, you know, like I was mentioning, Gooden won it in 85. And the other guy, the other only Met to win Cy Young is, of course, the three-time Cy Young winner and, of course, the greatest fan of all time. And, of course, you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver, yeah.
He congratulated him also. He said that he saw a few I think he hasn't met him in person, but he, you know, plans on, you know, personally congratulating him,
mm-hmm.
you know, for his miraculous, you know, achievement.
Yep, definitely. He had a great year, you know. He definitely deserved it, and if the Mets don't keep him or decide to trade him away, then the Mets should sell the organization because it'd be foolish not to sign this guy.
Yeah, I know. I know he's getting up there, and he does throw the ball harder than, you know, than a typical knuckleballer, but I think they should keep the guy. I mean,
get better.
And most importantly, right.
Get better, man.
You know, they got to keep those guys, you know, and build around the you know, the team, and hopefully make some smart decision, get some key acquisitions, you know, via trade and free agency, and let the farm system develop, and, you know, hopefully in a couple of years, you know, they'll gel to be a championship-caliber team.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean, this guy, he's right now, you could say, next to David Wright, the most valuable Met on the team, and Johan Santana, of course, when he's healthy. So.
Yeah.
You got to keep this guy. You can't just let him go to another team.
Yeah, and speaking of the Mets, before I switching over, former Met, you know, Jose Reyes, he in a shocker blockbuster trade, Reyes, Josh Johnson, who's been an ace of the Marlins for years, Burley, who they signed in the offseason last year, and practically the rest of their team, It got traded to Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that surprised everybody. I mean, you know, I joked around with you that, you know, after Reyes got traded, you know, 2 years from now he'd be traded, but I didn't know when 1 year after he signed with them he'd be traded. I mean, it's
right.
You know, Marlins have the history of shipping away their players, but normally they usually do it after they win the wild card
right.
on the way to them winning a World Series. But
mm-hmm. yep,
you know, it's crazy.
It is. Definitely
yeah.
is, man. The Marlins organization don't know what they're doing, man. They deserve to be. Man, they should just break.
Contract.
Just, go away. I'm so mad I can't even talk about that organization, man.
Yeah, and who would have thought you would be defending the Marlins after 0-3? But I mean, it shows you. I mean, you're keeping it real. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, how would you feel if you know?
I'd be pissed if I was a fan.
Your team did. I mean, if you were a Marlin fan and they just gutted the team, and the only good player they have is Stanton, and he's obviously, you know, PO'd.
Yeah.
You know about what happened. I mean,
it's messed up, man. I feel sorry for fans who have to, you know, who spend their money to go to these games and who invest their time and effort into this team, and his team doesn't give a rat's ass about them.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is that I heard the whole stadium, the new stadium, was, you know, financed on by the taxpayers in Miami.
Yep.
That's another messed up thing. But you know, the other MLB news is that, as expected, Cabrera, you know, he won the Triple Crown and of course the MVP. Congratulations to him. Buster Posey, on his way to winning a championship with the Giants this year, he also won the NL MVP.
Yep.
But yeah, let's shift gears to the, you know, the Knicks, man. They've been streaking. You know, they won their first six. They lost, of course, the Grizzlies on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
As you know, they bounced back earlier today and defeated their old school rival from the 90s, the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, the Knicks, they look a little rusty. I don't know, I guess because it was a matinee, afternoon game, but they looked a little off in the first half. But second half, they started playing a little better. They shut down the Pacers in the second half. Pacers couldn't hit a shot. I mean, if their lives counted on it. And what's the center's name? Hubert?
Hibbert,
yeah, he was terrible. He had like 8 turnovers, I think, today.
Yeah, and to give them credit, I mean, Granger wasn't there, but, you know, they did get their butt kicked anyway. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And Carmelo, he had a good game, 26 points, 9 rebounds. J.R. Smith, I think he had, 17 points off the bench, too?
Yep.
And even a Marcus Camby sighting. It's like the 90s. It's like NBA and NBC in the 90s, all over.
Yep.
Yeah, Marcus Camby sighting.
Yeah, but they played well. I mean, in the second half, and Carmelo had 26 points to lead them today. And the defense was really good in that second half. The Pacers are just a bad team right now. They're missing Granger, their best player, and offensively, they couldn't really do anything today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Knicks, you know, they're going to play Tuesday against Hornets, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully they'll build upon this, you know, this one-game lead and their quick start. You know, this is their best start since the 94 season, which, of course, you know, we went to the NBA Finals and lost to the Rockets in 7 games.
Yep.
So, I mean, hopefully we keep this up, and hopefully we'll get a Tinker Take parade that we thought we would have, at least in 99 or at least, or 94.
7-1, good start.
Yep, keep it rolling. And, you know, the other team in, the other basketball team in town, the Nets, the one that everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon, they're doing pretty well too. They're playing right now as we speak. I don't know what the score is, but they're, you know, they're facing the Nets. I mean, not the Nets. They're facing the Kings. So they're up to a 5-2 start also.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're doing well as well.
Yeah, they're okay, but they've been playing some weak teams, I think, so.
Yeah, I mean, they did – one of their wins, their highlight wins, was beating the Celtics.
Yeah.
But then again, there was no Rondo that day also, but you gotta beat the teams that are on the schedule.
True, true.
Shifting gears, let's talk a little Jets. You know, Jets bounced back. They beat the Rams sure it isn't the Patriots that they're going to face on Thursday, but, you know, they needed a win desperately.
Yeah, it's I mean, the Jets, they played good today.
Yeah.
They played good. First half, first quarter, I would say they didn't look so good, but
yeah,
after
definitely.
That, you know, the second half, you know, they the Rams couldn't really do anything offensively, really.
Yeah, but, yeah, absolutely.
Good defense.
And, you know, Sanchez had a, you know, an okay game. You know, he actually passed the ball well today. You know, he went 15 for 20, 178 yards, threw for a touchdown. The guy who deserved the ball today is Bilal Powell. I mean, he scored his first two career touchdown. And, you know, they played well for the most part, except for the, you know, special teams with Tebow really not doing anything. He really didn't have a – he didn't really play that much, but he didn't really play well. I mean, they knew he was going to rush. You know, he really had a – he didn't really have a good game today, but
yeah.
He didn't really have an opportunity as much.
Right, right. They played good, you know. And
they do.
Yeah, Sanchez didn't throw any interceptions today, did he?
Don't think so. I mean, I think he got sacked a few times.
Okay. So he's off the hook. But this past week, I mean, there was a lot of talk about benching him for Tebow. But then again, there's been some players that have come out anonymously who said Tebow sucks.
Yeah,
he can't be our quarterback. I mean,
seriously. I mean, we've talked about this for years, man. I hate the anonymous players, man. I mean, I'm not saying I hate them individually, but I just hate when people are cowardly and they can't say anything to somebody in their face.
Yep.
They gotta be cowards and say, oh, you know, talk to the reporters and say stuff and not put their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I agree.
If you have something to say to somebody, say it. Put your name on it. That's all. You know
I agree
what I mean?
With you. I agree with you, man.
It's just, it's an utter joke. But they did play better. And I don't know if you heard, after the game, Bart Scott and some of the defensive players, they didn't talk to the media. They boycotted the media. Well, what was that all about, man?
You're the players that, you know, you're the ones that talk. I mean, the reporters and the writers, they're just listening to what you're saying.
I know. I mean, what the hell? What is that gonna accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
Not talking to the media.
Yep.
The media are the people that are pretty much gonna make the situation. They're the one that's writing about the situation. So.
Yep, I agree.
They're just doing their job, pretty much. But any case, yeah, let's switch gears to you know, the Giants. You know, they're gonna play the Packers. You know, coming up this week or next week. Sunday.
Yep, it's going to be a Giants are coming off that loss to the Bengals. Is it the Bengals or the Browns? I think it was the Bengals.
Bengals.
Yeah. So they're coming off they have the bye week this week. So next Sunday night? Yeah, next Sunday night they play the Packers at Giants Stadium. And Packers just won today. They beat the Lions. So. It'd be a big game next Sunday night.
Definitely. And you know what else is on tonight, you know? Switching gears to, you know, WWE.
Oh, yes.
Quickly,
the Survivor Series.
Yep. And, of course, you know, the main event is the Triple Threat match. You know, between, you know, CM Punk,
mm-hmm.
Cena, you know, they're going to fight each other for the 1 millionth time.
Yep.
As usual. And, of course, Ryback, you know, is going to be in that that match. Who do you think is going to win?
Wow. I think CM Punk's going to retain the title.
I think so, too. I think CM Punk's going to retain. This is going to be CM Punk's last title defense. So that tomorrow when he comes back, he'll come on Raw tomorrow, he'll officially have 1 year
mm-hmm.
as champion. And then I predict Cena will win the title at TLC and face The Rock to have the once in a lifetime again, part two.
Yep.
You know, at what was I gonna say? You know, at the Royal Rumble. And then
this Survivor Series, I don't know. It just feels like there's something missing from it. I don't think I would. If I were a WWE fan, I wouldn't buy it because there's not much excitement regarding, you know, surrounding it.
Yeah. And you know what really messed it up? They made the whole storyline of Team Foley, Team Punk.
Mm-hmm.
And then WWE panicked, thinking that not a lot of people were going to buy the event without the title on the line. Which, I mean, most cases, I mean, that's true. And it could have been that the case this year, but They took all the steam out of the Foley versus Punk, and then they switched it to Ziggler, and the whole feud fit perfectly.
It did.
I would have stuck with it. One week they just changed it up. They didn't even give it a chance. And then on the top of it, they threw the Cena and Cena and Punk storyline again, which, you know, has been hot, you know, ever since last year. But now Cena's in two storylines. And when you think about it, Cena's not even really in this CM Punk storyline. It's more Ryback versus CM Punk. And they threw Cena in that storyline. But then Cena's major storyline is that he's in the alleged AJ, you know, scandal with Vicky Guerrero and Dolph Ziggler, and he's not even going to feud with Dolph Ziggler. So I don't see the whole point of the whole AJ, Cena-AJ story. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't get it. I definitely don't get it.
What is this going to lead to?
It doesn't make any sense.
Because when you think about it, Vicky Guerrero, she has, you know, for storyline purpose, has a history with Dolph Ziggler and Edge, when Edge was a heel at the time. So shouldn't she be the last person, you know, throwing stones at people?
Yeah.
And I'm
You're
glad,
right about that.
And I'm glad Cena actually brought that up, because I think WWE is going to act like that storyline never happened. Because, I mean, why is she, of all people, and why did AJ quit? If it wasn't true, I mean, this whole storyline, I mean, I really don't care about the storyline at all, but it just doesn't make any sense.
So awkward, man.
And it's not like Ziggler's going to fight Cena. If Ziggler was going to fight Cena at Survivor Series, I'd understand. Okay, fine. They're using this to, they're trying to create a personal feud so they could have a match tonight. But it's not going to lead to anything.
But maybe they'll have to fight at TLC, maybe.
I hope so, because this storyline is dumb.
It's very strange.
This story is dumber than Katie Vick. The Katie Vick story with Kane and Triple H.
I think Keaton Foley will win.
Let me think. I think Katie Ziggler.
Really?
Yeah, I can see it. I can think of any other match that's going to be there. Oh, yeah, I think Katie's going to fight me, but I guess this time she'll finally win the title.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.